గిరివరధారి జయ గోపీ జనవల్లభ గిరివరధారి యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరవనచారి యమునా తీరవనచారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి జయ గోపీ జనవల్లభ గిరివరధారి యశోదానందన బ్రజ జన రంజన యమునా తీరవనచారి యమునా తీరవనచారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి శిల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ సమవేద్ భక్తవృంద కీ జయ గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కీ జయ జయ నితాయ గౌర ప్రమానంద థ్యాంక్ యూ హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ ఎవ్రీవన్. సో వీల్ రీడ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 7. వీల్ కంటిన్యూ ది జర్నీ ఆఫ్ చాప్టర్ 7 ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 7 ఆఫ్ ది శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. చాప్టర్ 7 ఈస్ టైటిల్డ్ యాజ్ వాట్ ప్రహ్లాద్ లర్న్డ్ ఇన్ ద వూంబ్. వాట్ ప్రహ్లాద్ లర్న్డ్ ఇన్ ద వూంబ్. సో వీఆర్ almost towards the concluding verses of this chapter. Our specific focus today will be on texts 51 and 52. Text 52 is not written on the board. I'm not sure how you all are going to follow it, but probably what I'll do is I'll just go with text 51. We all can narrate, and I'll just mention text 52 because you all will not be able to repeat it because it's not written here. So text 51 goes as follows. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Prinanaya mukundasya. Prinanaya mukundasya.
Prinanaya mukundasya.
Navritam na bahunyataha. Navritam na bahunyataha. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Prinanaya mukundasya. Navritam na bahunyata. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Prinanaya mukundasya. Navritam na bahunyata. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitam vasuratmajah. Prinanaya mukundasya. Navritam na bahunyata. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Prinanaya mukundasya. Navrittam na bahunyata. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Prinanaya mukundasya. Navrittam na bahunyatah. Matajis. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Prinanaya mukundasya. Navrittam na bahunyatah. Nalam dvijatvam devatvam. Rishitvam vasuratmajah. Prinanaya mukundasya. na vrittam na bahunyata nalam dvijatvam devatvam rishitvam vasuratmaja prinanaya mukundasya na vrittam na bahunyata na not alam sufficient dvijatvam being a perfect highly qualified brahmana devatvam being a demigod rishitvam being a saintly person va or asura atmaja o descendants of asuras preenanaya for pleasing mukundasya of mukunda the supreme personality of godhead navrittam not good conduct na not bahunyata vast learning na neither danam charity na tapah no austerity na nor ijya worship na nor saucham cleanliness na vratani nor execution of great vows cha also priyate is satisfied amalaya by spotless bhaktya devotional service harihi the supreme lord anyat other things vidambanam only show translation my dear friends o sons of the demons you cannot please the supreme personality of godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas my dear friends o sons of the demons you cannot please the supreme personality of godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas demigods or great saints or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning none of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the lord nor by charity nor austerity nor sacrifice nor cleanliness or any vows can satisfy the lord the lord is pleased the lord is pleased only if one has unflinching unalloyed devotion to him the lord is pleased only if one has unflinching unalloyed devotion to him without sincere devotional service everything is simply a show purport Vasila Prabhupada ki jai Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become perfect by serving the supreme lord sincerely by all means material elevation to life as a brahmana demigod rishi and so on are not the causes of developing love of godhead but if one sincerely engages in the service of the lord his krishna consciousness is complete this is confirmed in bhagavad gita 9.30 api chet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadhur eva samantavyah samyak vyavasito hi sah even if one commits the most abominable actions if he is engaged in devotional service he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated to develop unalloyed love for krishna is the perfection of life other processes may be helpful but if one does not develop his love for krishna these other processes are simply a waste of time dharma sva anushtita pumsah vishvaksena kathasu yah na utpadiye yadi ratim shrama evahi kevalam duties dharma executed by men regardless of occupation are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8. The test of perfection is one's unalloyed devotion to the Lord. The test of perfection is one's unalloyed devotion to the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhirayet Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakal Pataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Nalam Dvijatvam Devatvam Rishitvam Vasuratmajaha Prinanaya Mukundasya Na Vrittam Na Bahunyata. The second part of the verse is Na Danam Na Tapo Nejya Na Shaucham Na Vratanicha Priyate Amalaya Bhaktya Harir Anyad Vidambanam. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect Brahmanas, neither by becoming demigods, nor by becoming great saints, nor by becoming perfectly good in etiquette, nor by becoming vastly learned. None of these qualities can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. So, we are in a very interesting section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every section of Srimad Bhagavatam is interesting. But specifically, the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj was something that was even very dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, as much as Dhruva Maharaj pastime was. So in this pastime, Prahlad Maharaj, a 5-year-old boy, is telling this verse. If we sit back and imagine, it's extremely difficult to imagine a 5-year-old saying such prose, if you like. It's impossible to hear that, right? So Prahlad Maharaj, who is 5 years old, he's explaining to his classmates what he has heard in the womb of his mother. His mother's name was Kayadu, right? Yeah. So the demigods were going to kill his mother and him because the demigods were afraid of Hiranyakashipu's lineage. because the demigods were very scared of Hiranyakashipu. Even with his eyebrows he could control them. So then they decided that what if his son also becomes like him, then what will happen to us? So they tried to kill Kayadu and Prahlad Maharaj. But it was the timely intervention of Narad Muni which saved the day. Narad Muni said that, don't worry, I will take care, I know there is something that is there in the future and this boy is not going to harm you in any way. Rather, he is going to be a great personality. So leave him alone and leave the mother alone. And then Narad Muni took them to their ashram, and then in the ashram Narad Muni started speaking regular Srimad Bhagavatam to Kayadu. And whatever Prahlad Maharaj heard in the womb of from Narad Muni, that is what he is now reciting to his classmates. As a part of that, he is reciting this beautiful verse. Now, this is the greatness of a Paramahamsa. Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahajan. Prahalado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vayasaki Vayam. He is one of the several Mahajanas. So, only a Mahajan can actually separate what is pure devotion from other components. Only a Paramahams can do that. Because what's the nature? Where does the word Paramahams come from? Paramahams comes from the word hams. Hams is that personality, hams is that bird which can pick out the milk from a mixture of milk and water, which no human being can do. Right? Of course, you have to go to a chemical laboratory. I don't even know that someone has tried it out. Okay, the milk is coming out. And the swan can simply take that with its mouth, right? It can just drink the milk and leave the water back. That's called as hamsa. So what is Paramahamsa? Amongst so many components that are there, for example, in today's translation, charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, becoming a brahmana, becoming a demigod, and so many things, the Paramahamsa can cleanly pick up what is it that pleases the Lord. And that's where this becomes very important, this verse. And Prahlad Maharaj is thus separating the wheat from the chaff. He is separating the essential from the non-essential in bhakti. Now, who is he teaching to? He is talking to his friends who are extremely materialistic. They have no idea of devotional service. Externally they are his friends. Externally, they are very gentle. But internally they are asuras. What is asuras? Earlier speakers were explaining. Asura means? Those who don't care for Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Those are called as asuras. For them, their mind is their own guru. That is called as asura. So they have no regard for God or His words. And their mind naturally is more inclined to matter. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj is a spiritualist, he is not a materialist. So this is a conversation which is happening between a spiritualist and materialists. Prahlad Maharaj is giving them the science of spirituality. As Chaitanya Charan Prabhu said in one class, material science is the study of matter. Material science is the study of matter, but spiritual science is the study of what matters. Okay, so he is trying to explain to them what really matters to Krishna, what can please him. So in the translation there are several comparisons that are given. There are certain different aspects given, and Prahlad Maharaj is kind of eliminating all these things, saying that this is not going to please the Lord, that is not going to please the Lord, that is not going to please the Lord. So he's first comparing them with perfect brahmanas. Will being a perfect brahmana please the Lord? Prahlad Maharaj says no. Why? One of the qualities of a brahmana is that a brahmana is highly learned, very erudite, very perfect in his rendition of the Bhagavad Gita. So he has seen his own father reciting Bhagavad Gita very fluently. When Hiranyaksha died, Hiranyakashipu was trying to mollify the grief of his relatives. And in that, Hiranyakashipu was speaking poetry. He was speaking science of self-realization class he was giving to everyone. But internally what happened? Hiranyakashipu harbored animosity towards Lord Krishna. Right? So, but very fluently he was telling the Bhagavad Gita. In Hindi, we say, Muh mein Ram, bagal mein churi. No? Everyone remembers that dialogue? Yeah, it's like that. So, this is hypocrisy. Talking something and thinking something within the heart. So, Prahlad Maharaj has witnessed this hypocrisy on the part of his father. He has also witnessed the opportunism of the demigods. What is the opportunism of the demigods? The moment demigods realize Hiranyakashipu is away, what is that they say? When the cat is away, the mouse is at play. Correct? So Hiranyakashipu was away, immediately they took an opportunity to kill mother as well as who will kill a pregnant woman, right? Which man in his senses will do that? But demigods even thought of that idea. It was the timely intervention of Narad Muni that saved the day. So he has seen the hypocrisy of, you know, the learned nature of his father, which is a Brahminical quality in one sense, being learned. He has also seen the opportunistic nature of the demigods. The demigods' logic was that the son of a criminal has to be the son, has to be a criminal, therefore he has to be killed. What kind of logic is that? Right? The sons, the fathers of our spiritual masters may not have been Vaishnavas. Correct. So any combination can happen. Father can be demonic, son can be, you know, devotee. Son can be devotee, his child can be demonic, or everyone can be devotee, or everyone can be demonic. Everything is possible in this material world, right? So, he saw the principle of that though somebody may be a demigod, somebody may be a Brahman, he saw the yasyasti principle here. What is the yasyasti principle? Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavad akinchana sarvair gunair tatra samasate sura harav abhakta kuto mahat guna manorathena dhavato vahi. Therefore, only a devotee is one who really can be trusted to have all good qualities, because the devotee may be work in progress devotee, may not be a pure devotee, but the devotee has placed himself in the fire of bhakti. Therefore, it's only a matter of time because the devotee becomes perfect. Though the devotee seemingly may demonstrate imperfections, but for a non-devotee who has never placed himself in the path of purifying himself, where is the question of good qualities manifesting? Even if the non-devotee has got a good quality, it is only because the non-devotee is being subjected to the mode of goodness, which is amongst the three modes of material nature. So sometimes they will also be in mode of goodness. Eventually they will go to mode of passion, and eventually mode of ignorance will capture them because they are not in the fire of bhakti. So he can see the principle very clearly. Therefore he's saying no Brahman, no demigod. But for Narad Muni, Prahlad Maharaj did not see pure devotion in any of these people, neither in his father nor the demigods. Why? Because one of the characteristics of pure bhakti is fearlessness. He saw fear in his father, because of which his father was doing all this tapasya. I should not be killed outside, inside, neither day, nor man, nor animal. No. So he was trying to hedge himself from all sides, like a treasury department hedges with all foreign exchange in a bank, so that if one currency goes down, another currency will pick up, right? So he was trying to hedge himself from all sides. So he saw fear, and fear is not the sign of pure devotion. So he did not see it in his father. He saw fear even in the demigods. He could only see pure devotion in Narad Muni, because Narad Muni was fearless. He saw all these big personalities, powerful personalities, he saw all of them breaking down when they were subjected to adversities in their life. Because again, that is the nature of a pure devotee. A pure devotee does not break down when subjected to extenuating circumstances. The pure devotee still, in Hindi we say, chale chalo, chale chalo. Lage rehte hain. A pure devotee is continuously engaged in bhakti regardless of material circumstance. That is called as nishtha. Whereas he did not see any nishtha. So the real test of one's character or faith or devotion is how one responds when one is subjected to adverse situations in life. Because when everything is going good, all haribols, dandavat pranam, everything will happen nicely. But when Vanda happens, when Lafada happens. When two people have to work cooperatively with one another, that time the real test of humility will come, and then we will come to know where we are. It is easy for us to practice etiquettes with devotees, but is it easy for a daughter-in-law to demonstrate amanitvam and adambitvam with mother-in-law? Question mark. Is it easy for a son-in-law to deal affectionately with mother-in-law? That is again another test. So these are several tests which come in all of our lives, right? We choose who we want to love, we choose who we don't want to love, right? Whereas pure devotion means love for all living entities, regardless of who they are, seeing everyone as children of God and setting an example by our own behavior. So therefore Prahlad Maharaj is only seeing this in Narad Muni, the quality of being Samadarshi, who doesn't have love hate. I love this person, I hate this person. I love this person, I can't stand this person. So he is seeing that in Narad Muni. Now here in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is clearly demarcating between activities that are done out of compliance, activities that are done out of expectation, and activities which are done out of love and affection unto the Lord. Compliance, expectation and love. Bhakti can be done in all the three modes. Finishing 16 rounds comes in which category? Compliance. I've complied. I finished my 16 rounds. That's compliance, right? Expectation is what? Lord, after all, I am your devotee. Why I can't win that auction in Albert Park? Those rascals who are coming, they are also winning the auction. Why I can't get a house? Oh Lord, may that house be mine. This is called as expectation. Right? And love means, na janam, na dhanam, na sundarim. Under any circumstances, it doesn't matter. What matters more is your desire for my life. Whatever you decide in my life, that is what is my life. And Lord, as long as you are happy, it's okay. One day you will make me look like a Paramahamsa, another may I will look like a monkey in front of everyone. That's okay. As long as you are interfering in my life and it's your plan for my purification. So, compliance, expectation is not going to please the Lord. It is love which pleases the Lord. And that is the mood with which Prahlad Maharaj is speaking this verse and he is administering these instructions to his classmates. The central point here which he is trying to address is, Lord Krishna is not attracted by one's achievements. He is not attracted by one's feats. He is not attracted by one's demonstration of excellence in doing a particular activity. Whereas the Lord is very easily attracted by a heart which is filled with love. A heart which is going towards Him, which is moving towards Him. Even if that love has not culminated in anything materially tangible or externally very discernible, even if that does not happen, the Lord accepts it. That is why Lord is called as Bhavagrahi Janardana. Otherwise He would have been called as Result Grahi Janardana. Who is Result Grahi Janardana in our life? Our boss. I don't care what you did. What are the results? What have you achieved quarter on quarter in terms of revenues? What are the margins you are achieving? I don't care what you do. Show me results. This is corporate life. Krishna says, I don't want results. I just want to see you. In which mood you did something, because results are anyway given by me. They are ordained by me. Karmane vadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. So, this is the quality of bhavagrahi janardana. Only Bhagavan can be like that. No ordinary human being can be like that, right? He sees only the intent, not the result. That's the point that Prahlad Maharaj is hammering. The intent, the love within your heart is what Krishna sees. Because He is the giver of results. And the only thing He does not... All results are ordained by Him, because He is Upadrishta, He is Anumanta, He is witness and He is sanctioner of all results. But there is one thing which He does not interfere with. What is that one thing? free will. It does not interfere with that. Except for those people who have attained the last component of surrender, which is called as Atma Nivedanam. What is the difference between Atma Nivedanam and other components? Goptratya Varnam, Tatha Rakshacheti, Vishwaso, everything is there in surrender. But what specific about Atma Nivedanam? In Atma Nivedanam, one is surrendering one's free will also to the Lord. Bali Maharaj says that, oh Lord, I don't have anything to give you, so take myself. Every part of me, including my free will, I surrender to you. Now you do whatever you want to do with me. That is why it's called Atma Nivedanam. Surrendering that free will also, which Krishna ordinarily never takes away. But we surrender, the devotee surrenders that to the Supreme Lord. So, now in this particular section, there are three distinct themes that are coming. In the whole section, not only just in this verse. If you see the verses leading up to this and the subsequent verses, three themes you can notice. First is how none of these components, austerity, vows, cleanliness, all these things, how none of these components in this translation can get an entrance for us into the spiritual world minus Krishna. It's like saying how all the zeros are meaningless. You can put 0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 it, then it becomes a big number. 1 multiplied by 10 raised to the power of infinity. What is that 1? That is Krishna. So put Krishna ahead of all these things and then everything makes sense. But take that 1 out and everything is not 0. That's the point he's trying. None of these components in itself without Krishna can get us bhakti. Then he is also talking about how does a jiva get bhakti then? If a jiva does not get bhakti from vows, austerity, penances, knowledge, becoming a demigod, then how does one get bhakti? So that's the second point he is addressing. And thirdly, how he is emphasizing how any one of these components which one does with bhakti, any one of these components can deliver one to the spiritual world. So let's take one by one. Let's dissect the translation for today. So first, he talks about, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect Brahmanas. Let's look at Brahmanatvam, which is the first quality which he is negating now. So, this may sound very ironical at the outset. What? Brahmanatvam is being condemned by Prahlad Maharaj? After all, what am I working so hard for? I have to do ISKCON disciple course. I have to do Prabhupada Leelamrit course. I have to give interview. After all that, I get my Brahman initiation and Prahlad Maharaj is saying this. Isn't that an irony? What is going on here? At the outset, that's what we may, it will look like that. So, what is this Brahmanatvam that Prahlad Maharaj is talking about? Prahlad Maharaj, when he is talking about Brahmanatvam, he is not talking about a devotee Brahmana. Prahlad Maharaj is talking about the tendency of a Smartha Brahmana or a non-devotee Brahmana to give more importance to Jnana than to Bhakti. That is the tendency which Prahlad Maharaj is condemning here when he is talking about just by becoming Brahmana, you cannot please the Lord. Our knowledge doesn't please the Lord. Our application of knowledge, that is what pleases the Lord. So that's the point that he is trying to hammer here. He is also trying to hammer the rule. He is trying to hammer the dominance or the preponderance of rules. Of essence over rules. He says the rules, to hell with the rules. Look at the essence. Because sometimes a devotee will get caught up in so many rules that they'll forget the essence of things. Right? So, he is talking about that. He is talking about the domination of devotion over scholarliness, which any Brahmana gets besotted with. Brahmana falls in love with his own erudition. Right? So he says, for all these things, 0 marks. 0 marks for reciting Purusha Suktam beautifully in the right meter without devotion. 0 marks for that. So that's what he's trying to tell when he's talking about this Brahmanatvam. Because this knowledge without Krishna consciousness Actually, knowledge is supposed to lead to humility. But knowledge without Krishna will lead to pride. Exactly viparit. It will take us in the wrong direction. It will lead us to pride. It will lead us to becoming complicated personalities. This was beautifully demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Adi Leela, last chapter. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is defeating Keshav Kashmiri. Keshav Kashmiri had come with a big chadar. I'm a big Kashmiri Pandit. And Lord Mahaprabhu said, okay, if you are a big Pandit, can you tell me, can you compose a word? Can you compose a poetry on the Ganges which is flowing? And Keshav Kashmiri very beautifully, in a very ornamental fashion, he gave spontaneous verses on the Ganges. And then how did Mahaprabhu deal with him? Mahaprabhu said, very good. You are such a scholar. I am not qualified. That is what Mahaprabhu is saying. Right? I don't know anything about all these things. But with your permission, can I please speak few things which seem to me like anomalies, but then I'll be guided by you because you are the scholar. And then one by one Mahaprabhu cuts his pride. He finds out all the follies according to the rules of grammar, vyakaran, poetry. He's cutting Keshav Kashmiri to size. So, because the Lord knows that at the end of the day, glorification of Ganges through poetry, yes, it's good. It's better than glorifying some Bollywood personality. Correct. Glorifying Ganges is good, but that is not enough if the essence of that glorification has not been understood. And if that glorification is not resulting in one's internal transformation. Otherwise, it's just words, words, words. So that's the point Prahlad Maharaj is hammering when he's talking about Brahmanatvam here. Then coming to demigods, one should not... Being a demigod will not please the Lord. What is he trying to talk here? Again, at the outset, it may seem very ironical. Because in Nectar of Devotion, it is said there are six characteristics of bhakti. What is the first characteristic? Klesha Agni. Relief from material distress. Second characteristic is Shubhada. What is the translation of Shubhada? Dawning of all the good qualities that are available in the, that are seen in the demigods. At all auspicious qualities seen in the demigods will dawn upon the devotee. So, then it may seem ironical. If this is true, then what is this talking about? Do not try to become a demigod. Again, it may seem like that. So, what is Prahlad Maharaj condemning here then? Prahlad Maharaj is condemning that Mishri Bhakti does not attract the Lord. Mishri Bhakti means mixed devotion. One leg in devotional life, one leg in material life. Do you know of anyone like that? Okay. So, Mishri Bhakti does not please the Lord. So, that's the point he's trying to say when he's talking about demigod. Devotion that is mixed or tainted with material desires. That's why Rupa Goswami said, pure devotion is what? Anya Abhilashita Shunyam. Jnana Karma Adi Anavratam. No tinge of material desires. Because the fourth characteristic of bhakti, if you go in that sequence, what is that? Klesha Agni, Shubhada, Moksha, Laguratakta. In that sequence, one of the characteristics is what? Sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means bhakti. The innate nature of bhakti is that it is rarely attained by anyone. Pure devotion. Pure devotion is rare. Sudurlabha. Why? Mishri bhakti is all too common. Right? Even if you see our own lives, is it pure devotion? It is Mishri Bhakti. Correct? Because there are some material expectations also along the way. Right? And sometimes we think it is our right to get certain material privileges because we are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Oh Lord, how can you do this with me? After all, am I not following four regulative principles? Am I not chanting your holy names? Therefore, you have to give me some special treatment at least, no? So this is our problem, right? So Mishri Bhakti is all too common. But Mishri Bhakti does not attract the Lord. Because one of the characteristics of pure Bhakti is what? Krishna Akarshini. That which attracts the Lord. Such that the Lord becomes subjugated to his own devotee. So Mishri Bhakti does not do that. Therefore Prahlad Maharaj is condemning Mishri Bhakti is demigod mentality. little love for Krishna, one leg, lots of love for Krishna, but another big leg is in material life. So that's what he's trying to do. And we have seen ample examples of this in the demigods. Okay, if we had, I don't want to single out Indra, but King, Lord Indra comes as the special example of this Mishri Bhakti, right? For example, he is a nice devotee of the Lord, but when he saw that his own worship was disturbed by Lord Krishna, he sent the Samvartaka clouds, right? So that shows what nature of the demigods. That shows that demigods, yes, they have a lot of bhakti for the Lord, but they also want to be respected by others. They also want to be worshipped by others, right? So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is hinting at this point, saying that yes, we may do a lot of bhakti, but at the end of all that, if we still have not given up our desire to be respected by others, then what happens? Then Krishna will not accept that bhakti. That is why that verse, Trinada Pisunichana, Taroreva Saishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. The other aspect is attachment. Demigods also show immense attachment for their possessions. What is one example of that? Lord Indra's attachment for the Parijata tree. So, Satyabhama wanted the tree. I'm asking all of you, if Krishna comes and says, can I please, some of you who may have courtyards and trees, okay? So, if Krishna comes and says, hey, hello, Hare Krishna, how are you? Hey, Krishna, hey, come. My wife Satyabhama, Haribol Satyabhama. I want that flower. Will you say no? You can't take that. Right? But actually Indra did that. What an opportunity he had. And he lost that opportunity. He led a war because of that Parijata tree. What is there in that Parijata tree? Right? So that is called as demigods are also attached. Right? They are attached to Krishna, but they are also attached to their material possessions. Or the quality of insecurity. Right? Which, as practicing devotees, we may also have. Many times insecurity is seen. Why are you talking to my Bhakti Vriksha member? I am cultivating. Why you are talking to him? This is called as what? Insecurity. Right? Insecurity. And who showed insecurity? Indra. With who? Prithu Maharaj, hey, just find out what that fellow is doing. Hey. He has completed almost all 99 horse sacrifices. One more, my position is gone. Right? Therefore, go and steal the horse, dressed as a saffron robe, so that nobody will come to chase you. Right? So this is how even demigods can succumb to respect, to attachment, and to insecurity. And if that is not enough, they can also succumb to familial attachments. What is the example? Lord Indra was cursed that you will go down in this material world and you will live like a pig. So he actually came down and he is living with his piglets in a gutter. And Brahmaji comes and says, Are Indra, kya ho gaya bhaiya? What happened to you? What's happening? Don't you know who you are? Come. Higher taste is waiting for you. Indra is saying, eh, don't worry. Don't you see I'm busy with my family here? We are having nice lunch here in the gutter. Don't disturb me. So, demigods are attached even to their families. Okay. So, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, do not even try to become a demigod. Being a demigod is not good enough. It doesn't please the Lord. Now, third, he is making a big statement. He is saying, Rishitvam Vasurat Majataha. Rishitvam. Now, you will say, what is the problem, man? What is Prahlad Maharaj's problem with Rishi? Right? Not Rishi Kapoor. Rishis. Okay. So what is the problem with Rishis? Why is he saying great saints? Saints are not dear to the Lord? That too great saints? So this again sounds very ironical. Why? Because all of us are also advised to cultivate saintly qualities. Right? All the time, we receive these instructions. We have to develop saintly qualities. So what is this Rishitvam that Prahlad Maharaj is referring to here? Obviously, Prahlad Maharaj is not referring to the Rishitvam which is demonstrated by Paramahamsas. He is not talking about that. He is referring to that Rishitvam which is devoid of love of God. That Rishitvam where you are a rishi, but you are doing something which is not pleasing the Lord. So, what is this? An example of this is the attachment of a rishi to his own austerities. I am such a tapasvi. Attachment to one's own austerities. And when one has such attachment to one's own austerities, then one demonstrate presumptuous behavior. One demonstrates arrogance as a result of power that comes from austerities. I am a big rishi. I have to be respected. How dare you eat Ekadashi water? How dare you sip that water before I come to your house? Therefore, I would create a demon who will destroy you. So this was shown. Now, where does these qualities come from? Because when we do too many austerities without doing it for the pleasure of the Lord, then those austerities will make us fall in love with ourselves. I am so austere. Poor thing. I can do Nirjal Ekadashi also. I can fast for 48 hours without food and water. See how austere I am, right? And with such austerities comes self-righteousness. We think that whatever we do is right because I am able to do all these austerities. And therefore people who are not doing these austerities, they have to be wrong. Because I am doing more austerities than them. So self-love, self-righteousness comes as a result of this. Or sometimes these austerities will give mystic powers by which one starts thinking, maybe the Mayavadis are right. Maybe I am only God. Look at me. Look at my ability to manipulate matter. So, these things can come. And then comes the misuse of those powers. So, when he is talking about Rishitvam, he is talking about this dirt which comes along with the practice of Rishitvam. Then he talks about etiquette. What is he? Where is he saying? Where is etiquette mentioned here? Anywhere? Somewhere is mentioned, no? Rishitvam, Asura, Atmaja, descendant of Asuras, pleasing Mukundasya, Supreme. Now, Vrittam, not good conduct, yes. Vrittam is talking about etiquettes, right? So, now again, this looks ironical because all the time we are being hammered about Vaishnava etiquettes. And he is saying, to hell with etiquettes. Right? So now what is he talking about? There is so much emphasis in Vaishnavism about Sadachar. It's not enough to do sadhana. It's not enough to do seva. Along with sadhana and seva has to be Sadachar or behavior. Right? So much emphasis there. Then why is he undermining, supposedly, the importance of etiquette here? So what is that about etiquette which can go terribly wrong? We'll take examples of that. Duryodhan also invited Lord Krishna for prasadam. Not prasadam, for food. Right? How did he invite Lord Krishna? With lot of etiquette. He invited him. Beautiful arrangements he had made. Lord, I have made this malai kofta, sarson ka saag, makkiya di roti. Everything was there. Right? Pappu anna. Bobbattu. Okay, this is some Hyderabad dishes I'm talking about, right? Modak. Everything was there, right? But Krishna said, to hell with all that. He went to whose house? And ate what? Banana peel. Right? To hell with all these etiquettes, right? And there was no etiquette. What kind of etiquette is this? That you don't even know what you're offering to the Lord. You're so besotted with the Lord's beauty that you're giving something and Lord is also, you know, besotted and he's eating banana peels and how nice this is, right? What kind of etiquette? Who will offer banana peels? Have you ever seen banana peels being offered to the deities? Special prasadam, Janmashtami. No, right? Even we will not eat and we will not offer to the Lord also, right? Right? So there is no etiquette. Where is the etiquette of good? Krishna, take. What kind of etiquette is this? Who did that? Saubari. Not Saubari, Sabari. Saubari was quite the opposite. Shabari. She ate the bear and gave it to Lord. There is no etiquette over here. Or that lady in Jagannath Puri who was Datun and then she was mixing the khichdi. Somebody will think, oh God, I don't want to go there. Tell me where that prasadam is served. I'll stand in some other queue. Right? That's our mentality. Right? Not, at least not yours. My mentality will be like that. Right? I can't take that. Somebody doing Datur and pure devotee and then saying, no, you take this. Right? But I have seen devotees. I remember once in Toronto, and that's where it struck me. Once in Toronto, His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj had just taken water to brush, and then he removed that in a jar, and one devotee took it immediately and drank it. At first shot, I thought, like that. But then later on, when you realize, it's easy to say these things, but it requires immense faith and immense affection to be able to trust and believe that this is better than all the, nectar in this world that is available. The remnants of a pure devotee, like that. Okay. So, again, so it's everything is not about etiquette, external cleanliness, this, that. Karna was the epitome of etiquette. What was his etiquette? Whoever comes, Hare Krishna, not Hare Krishna. Welcome, sir. What do you want? I want your kavach kundal. Take, no. Very polite, very good etiquette. But what happened? Internally inimical towards the devotees. Envious of the devotees, envious of the Lord. So etiquette is not everything. I was hearing recently the story of Dawood Ibrahim. Okay, the most notorious criminal amongst the FBI's most wanted in the world and India's most wanted criminal. Okay, so somebody was telling that even he follows certain etiquettes. He says that there are four things he says which has saved him from the greatest danger. He has no idea what danger is awaiting him, but he thinks he has been saved. And he said his mother gave him these values. He said, do anything you want, but don't take drugs in your life. So he says, I'm following this etiquette. No drugs. Like that. Only murder. Only bomb blasts. Right? Now what kind of etiquette is that? Right? So etiquette in itself is useless. Right? If you don't have other larger values in place. Right? Then charity. He said charity also does not attract the Lord. Of course, again, we are all the time asked to give in charity for Krishna conscious purpose. So which is the charity he is talking about? That charity which is done with a view to attaining prestige. For example, even in devotional life, this can happen. When that pot auction is happening. What is that? What is that called as? Pani Hati, pot auction. Okay. Sometimes, it feels lot of pride. $1,500. Jai! Dum, 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 dum. Prabhu, I bought that pot. Now what is that? This is charity in the mode of passion. Charity in the mode of passion this is. Okay. So, sorry, I'm just getting a cramp. Don't mind. So, charity which is done with a view to prestige is charity in the mode of is in the mode of passion. Or that Seth Harkichandas Ghanshyam Das, the typical Seth ji who builds a what? Charitable home. Sethji's charitable home. And outside what will happen? There will be no deity of Krishna. Outside will be statue of Sethji with his bald head. And on top of that a crow will be excreting, right? Sethji's legacy is finished with that. Correct? So nobody will even, his descendants will only be interested in what they can derive as inheritance. Nobody will even bother to clean the crow excreta from his head. Of the statue, right? This is what is charity, right? After that, who knows? Who cares about what your charity? You don't exist anymore, right? Right? So that charity is what he's talking about. Whereas the real charity is the template which Rupa Goswami has given, where we have to keep some money aside for Krishna consciousness and regularly give for Krishna conscious purposes. And Prabhupada writes in the purport to Nectar of Instruction, verse 4, when he writes, Dadati Pratigrinati Guhya Makhyati Prachati Bhukte Bhojayate Chaiva Sadvidh Priti Lakshanam. So in that Prabhupada writes purport, the greatest charity one can do is to give the charity of the holy name, which is being done amply in Melbourne, in the Bhakti Vrikshas or our Bhakta Bhavan program. So much prasadam is being given, so much money is going in organizing retreats, right? So grihasthas are spending so much money in cooking prasadam, feeding the Bhakti Vriksha members, taking them for picnics. So much investment of time, resources is happening. So that is the use. That charity pleases the Lord. That charity which is done solely for the purpose of connecting the children of Krishna who are separated with and reuniting them with the Lord.
Then he talks about austerity. Austerity also cannot please.
Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, austerity can also be done in three modes of material nature. Austerity in the mode of ignorance. What is austerity in the mode of ignorance? Troubling the body by trying to put a pin through the eyes. Like that. Have you seen that? I've seen in the tram. People coming like this. Like that. And I'm thinking, how come they did that? You know? And I also sometimes pinch and say, dard hota hai, I can't do this. Right? So this is austerity for what purpose? Useless austerity. Trouble for nothing. And actually it doesn't even look good after that. Right? So austerity in itself is not going to please the Lord. If that is what is going to please the Lord, even the karmis will go back to Godhead. Because sometimes they will wake up even before us in the morning. Why? Go for a jog, husband and wife. Or dog. This is austerity, no? Picking up dog poo in the morning, what better, more austerity do you want? Here we smell Lord, fragrance of Lord, Narsingadev's oil. What they are smelling in the morning? That is austerity, definitely. What is the use? Right? We are taking the fragrance which is pleasurable and still going back to Godhead, and they are taking poo of a dog and they are not going to go anywhere. Probably next lifetime, what will happen? The dog will reciprocate with them. That's all. They will be the dog, that fellow will be the master. Right? So, what is the use of such austerity? They also follow keto diet. Just for becoming physically very fit, flat stomach. They may also follow all these things. Sometimes they may follow diet which we cannot follow. We will be nicely eating prasadam samosas and kachori. Right? But they'll say, no, I don't, we don't eat all this. My husband and I, we are following keto diet. You know? We see how fit both of us are. Because we have to walk our dog in the morning. We have to go to parties where we have to look good. So even those people do austerity. What is the point? Right? So austerity, that austerity is being condemned. Cleanliness. Non-devotees also invest so much time in cleaning the house. Sometimes if you see the car of a non-devotee and see the car of a devotee. What will be in the car seat of a devotee? Yellow stains from kichidi. Yesterday only I found, Yamanalila had got some curd. It was fallen all over the car. Then I had to wipe that. Right? Our car trunk will be filled with what? Books. Tulsi ka wo, that stand, you know, all kinds of things will be there, right? Right? So that's okay. That uncleanliness is, or not, I shouldn't say uncleanness, that disarray is better than being clean and having a perfume over there with a Batman hanging from there. No. But in our car, who hangs? Hanuman hangs, right? So there is no point in doing just cleanliness for the sake of it. Even technologically advanced countries without God's consciousness, you will see more cleanliness and hygiene in these countries than Vrindavan, which externally will be unclean. Now, how to understand this? The cleanliness which is being spoken of is not only external cleanliness. External cleanliness is required. There's no doubt about it. We are not justifying that Vrindavan is unclean. Okay. Yes, Yamuna should not be polluted. Vrindavan should not be polluted. We should not carry plastic into Vrindavan, right? Because cows are eating those plastic, right? We are talking not only about external cleanliness, we are talking about internal cleanliness. As many times, you know, I remember this message, all of us are worried about leaving a better planet for the next generation, but very few of us are worried about leaving a better generation for the next planet. So that is the difference between just social responsibility and spiritual responsibility. So that cleanliness which only focuses on leaving a better planet is mundane cleanliness. Okay, it is important, but it is not more important than leaving a better generation for the next planet, right? For the planet. So Prahlad Maharaj is trying to contrast that. Finally he comes to vows. Vrat, vows. Now this vows, even non-devotees do vows. I remember early days, you know, when my wife and I were, you know, before our marriage, you know, after our engagement, she used to come to our, you know, house. So even before that, she used to come, when I was introducing her to my parents and all that, you know. So one day she said, I'm doing vrat. I said, what vrat? Hum log mein hota hai. I said, tum log kon hai? I said, hum log Gujarati log mein hota hai. In our Gujarati, we do this vrat. I said, what is this? Jaya Parvati. I said, what is Jaya Parvati? I said, to get a good husband. I said, am I who na? I said, I am there. Okay. No, this vrat is there, but anyway, you know, so that I remain good even after marriage. Good husband. Right? So I said, what do you all do in this vrat? No, we fast full night, we should not sleep. Okay, I said, okay. Then what do? I said, we have gone to the video parlor. We got a nice cassette. Shah Rukh Khan movie is there, Dilwale. Some movie was there like that, I forgot. And full night, she and her sister watched that movie. I said, morning, and I nicely slept. And then morning I said, okay, Avrat, now we will take bath and now we'll eat nicely. Now, what is this vrat? Right? Which means we are fasting, but while fasting we cannot think of the Lord. We need something else to forget that we are fasting. Right? We need some entertainment. Right? Okay. So from today, when the same person is doing Nirjal fast, I can't fast Nirjal and all. Okay, but she can do. She has the ability. Somehow Krishna has given her that ability to do that. And she does that. She can fast for endlessly. Right? But the same personality has now dovetailed that in Krishna Bhakti. Fasting for the pleasure of Krishna. Right? So therefore, this is what Krishna conscious does to us. It puts a one ahead of all the zeros. Without which everything is a mere waste of time. Right? So, there is a lot of emphasis even in vows, in Krishna consciousness. Our whole spiritual life begins with vows. What are the vows we take? No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. After all, it starts with vows only, right? Which Prabhupada instituted. But why Prabhupada instituted that? Because these are the four principles of dharma: mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness. And those four pillars will be broken by these activities: meat eating, illicit sex, gambling and what is the other one? I forgot. Intoxication. Yes. They will be broken. Right? Therefore, if we want to go out and espouse internal cleanliness with society to leave a next better generation for the planet, we have to first become internally clean. I cannot go and talk something which I myself am not following. And Prabhupada did not compromise on these vows. When Prabhupada was preaching in the United States, people used to come. Everyone is okay. Hare Krishna, Hare. But the Prabhupada, the moment he said, no illicit sex, they said, okay, see you later. That's something we cannot do. We cannot stay away from alcohol. You tell us anything we'll do. We'll give charity, no problem. But please, along that one bottle has to be there in hand. Prabhupada said, no. I am not going to compromise on these four regulative principles. Because these will take you diametrically opposite. They are North Pole and South Pole. North is Golok Vrindavan, South Pole is the path to hell. So this will not be compromised. So Prabhupada emphasized actually on vows, on taking these vows for accepting disciples. So in this section, if you see, Prahlad Maharaj therefore is separating the wheat from the chaff. To conclude, if all these things do not give bhakti, then what gives bhakti? That will be all. That is also important to understand, right? So, it is said that bhakti can come. There are various aspects of bhakti which are analyzed by acharyas. The first is karmonmukhi shukriti. I do a lot of philanthropic activities. I am always morally correct. Can I get bhakti just by doing that? Yes or no? No. Where is it mentioned? It is mentioned in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramanand Rai on the banks of Godavari at Vidyanagar, when they are doing this conversation, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time has met Ramanand Rai, and then they are immediately doing this conversation, and Mahaprabhu is grilling Ramanand Rai, tell me what is pure bhakti. And Ramanand Rai is mentioning many of these components. Pure devotee is one who can do austerities. He can take vows. He'll abstain from meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. Mahaprabhu says, tell me something more. Tell me something more. Not enough. Not enough. Not enough. He's driving. And as a part of that, Ramanand Rai tells a beautiful verse. Chaitanya Charitamrit Madhya Leela 8.70. He says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitaha Matihi Kriyatam Yadi Kuto api labhyate, tatra laulyam api
Mulyam ekalam janma koti shukriti na labhyate. Which means pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be attained even by executing pious activities for hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price. What is that price? Intense greed to obtain Krishna. That is the only price that has to be paid. If it is available somewhere, if this greed is somewhere available somewhere, only by, one must purchase it at any price without delay. So look for devotees who have this transcendental greed. Tatra laulyam ekalam mulyam. Now the question is, how to obtain that greed? That is the next question. That is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 12, text 12. The conversation between Maharaj Rahuguna and Jadabharat. Where Jadabharat is telling a beautiful verse to Maharaj Rahuguna. What does he say? He says, Rahuguna etat tapasanayati na chejyaya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasa neiva jaladagni surye vina mahatpada rajobhishekam. Translation, my dear King Rahuguna, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of a great devotee, unless one has that opportunity, one cannot understand the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy or brahmacharya. One cannot attain it by strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life. One cannot attain love of Godhead by leaving home as a vanaprastha renunciate. One cannot attain love of Godhead by accepting sannyas. One cannot attract the Lord by undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in cold water, nor by surrounding oneself in summer in between fire amidst the scorching heat of the sun. By doing all this circus, one cannot attain the Lord. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a pure devotee. Vina mahatpada rajobhishekam. So, bhakti manifests only through a pure devotee. It can manifest through agyata shukriti, unknowingly serving a pure devotee. It can manifest through bhakti unmukhi shukriti, which means bhakti which has been done in the past lifetime, or it can manifest even if we have not done any damn thing in our life, but it can come through the causeless mercy of a pure devotee, which is called as kripa, guru kripa. Prabhupada was asked by many people, Prabhupada, we were taking LSD drugs. We were doing all kinds of abominable activities. Prabhupada, what qualification in this lifetime did we have for becoming these sannyasis? Prabhupada said, you didn't have any qualification. I made your qualification. This is called as what? Guru Kripa. The love for Krishna, which is in the heart of a pure devotee, is transmitted to the heart of another personality just because of compassion. The desire of a pure Vaishnava for someone else to become a devotee. So if that happens, then none of this is more important than that Guru Kripa. So that is the essence of what Prahlad Maharaj is instructing to his classmates. We have some 3-4 minutes for questions or corrections. I'll stop here. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Mic? This mic or this one more?
You mentioned how, thank you for the nice class, you mentioned how knowledge does not make Lord Krishna happy. Implementation of the knowledge makes him happy. So Prabhuji, but we hear in we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, and at that stage we're not able to implement it. Later we're able to implement it. So will Krishna not be happy by us, will he not be pleased by us reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam?
Okay, so the essence of Damodar Leela, two fingers short,
What are the two fingers? Endeavor and mercy, right? So 110% we have to be assured that Krishna is pleased with our efforts. Krishna is pleased with work in progress devotees. Yes, definitely in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned, bhajanna pakko tha pate tato yadi. It is mentioned that if our bhajan is not paka hua means ripe at the end of this lifetime, Krishna will still give us an opportunity. If the bhajan has been done for a short term, then he gives birth in a very wealthy family in the next lifetime. Or if the bhajan has been done for a very long term, but some vestiges of anarthas are remaining, then what happens? We get birth in the family of devotees, which you have got. Which means you have done bhakti for a long time in the previous lifetime to get such good parents, right? And such good siblings, right? So this is Krishna Kripa, definitely. That's coming from previous lifetimes. So therefore, nothing is waste in Krishna consciousness. Krishna sees that we are making fledgling attempts to study the Srimad Bhagavatam. Amidst all our material struggles, whatever little bit we are trying to do, that is what Krishna says. That is why he is called Bhavagrahi Janardana. He is not like our boss who does performance appraisal at the cycle and then say, what have you achieved now? Show me your achievement. I don't care how much hard work you did, right? So be confident about that. Is it okay?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Yes.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhu, you spoke about we have expectations, like, you know, the bosses and all, they are very... So then the question is, Prabhu, sometimes we also expect from our children as well, like, you know, we are also... So how to accept them as they are, not as we want them to be?
Yeah. So I think I said this in one class before also, but Her Grace Jagatarani Mataji gave me the most beautiful answer to this question. In one sentence, she cleared all my doubts. She said, whenever we go to Lord Krishna, do not pray that, oh Lord, please give me the intelligence on how to raise my children. She says, pray that please give me the intelligence how to raise your children. Right? And I thought it was very profound, whatever she said. The moment we think that we are responsible for the results of what our children turn up, then what will happen? We will go through two emotions. Either if they become good devotees, we will become proud. And if they don't, we will lose faith in the Lord. Two extremes are there, right? So don't go to both the extremes because they are not our children. They are only spirit souls who have come in the womb of our wife in this lifetime. That's all. Actually, I'll tell you something which I thought. My mother left first in 2020, February, on Nityananda Trayodashi. Then my father left in December next year. Okay. Now I'm thinking, logically I'm thinking. Of course, I'm hoping that both of them went back to Goloka Vrindavan. Okay. By the mercy of their spiritual master. But my mother would come first. First in, first out principle, no? Inventory management, right? FIFO. So, she left, so she'll come first. So, obviously in the next lifetime, my father will be younger to my mother. In the earlier lifetime, he was elder. And now I am thinking myself, if I am born in, you know, whatever year, okay? I was born in 1992, okay? I am joking, okay? So, if I am born in 1968 and my mother is born in 1946, then I am thinking, in 1967, I must have been a very old man, my mother was a teenager. So who is young? Who is old? Who is father? Who is mother to who? So if we actually take a larger view, nobody is nobody's father, nobody is nobody's children, right? We are all on a journey in different lifetimes. There are only roles. So we have been given a role as a father. We may think to take care of our children, but we have been given that role for our own purification, right? So whatever our children may do, good or bad, we have to take it as for our own purification, right? And then similar rule applies to them also for their children, right? Yes, but yes, we have to set good examples for our children. That's all we can do. We have to give a lot of love and affection to the children, expose them to Krishna consciousness very early in life. That's one of the first lessons that Prahlad Maharaj gives. But beyond that, we cannot out-control any outcomes thereof. Because then, why Prabhupada says that? Finally, every soul has to run his or her own plane. we cannot operate anybody else's aircraft. They have to decide for themselves. Every soul has come with his or her own permutations and combinations of karma from millions of lifetimes. Very happy if our child becomes the next Prahlad Maharaj, next GBC of ISKCON. Right, very happy. Right? Dedicating life to ISKCON. But otherwise, okay, just take it as our own purification, where we continue to do our duties, but have full faith that as long as we have given them the basics, this is both His Grace Bhurijan Prabhu and Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, both told me this. Never consider that whatever you have invested in your children will go waste, because sometime, either in this lifetime or next lifetime, you have given them something and that will never go waste. That is only thing they will carry from lifetime to lifetime. Sometime when they get frustrated with the material world, they will look for a fallback option, and that time Paramatma will remind them, you have that option. Why? Because in their childhood they have done service to the Lord. So they will come back. So that's what we can do and hope for. But we should never get attached to the concept of our children becoming devotees. It is similar to the mentality of materialists when they are attached to the concept that my son should study IIT Bombay Computer Science or medicine in All India Institute of Medical Sciences. They will say, "Aapne padha kya?" And we will say, "No, I didn't do it, but I want you to do it." So typically this is, you know, as Indian parents we go through this, that we want our children to achieve everything that we did not do it, right? It's very easy to put that pressure on our children. So we are not putting any pressure on our children to become this or that, right? All we try to do is, we try to set a good example, and then we try to do our duty as parents. Like even Nanda Baba did his duty to chastise, you know, and Jagannath Mishra did it to chastise Lord Chaitanya also. So we do our duties. Jagannath Mishra chastised Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu despite knowing that he was Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is how dispassionately he did his duty. So that's all we have to do. That's my limited understanding. I don't know whether I answered or not.
Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, how does one collect Agyata Sukriti?
One does not collect Agyata Sukriti because it is Agyata. Yes. One doesn't even know that one has collected.
But for beginners, like, how do they, you know, probably progress bit on this path of
Agyata Sukriti is prasadam. People may not come to the temple, but we can commence the devotional life of people by giving them prasadam. So nobody is against good food, nobody is against good music. So inviting them for kirtan, inviting them for harinam, or even if they give $10 for Bhagavad Gita and never read that, they still have started their spiritual journey. So same basic principles, harinam, book distribution, prasadam distribution. This is how Agyata Sukriti of anyone can begin, because in none of this are we impinging on the free will of someone. Only when we ask them to chant, we are impinging on their free will. Till that time, you can still start their Agyata Sukriti. Yeah. You had something? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. So I had this question, like, how do we differentiate if we are fasting, doing austerity, keeping Krishna in center or not? Because, like, everyone start with thinking, oh, I'm doing this fast for Krishna, or I'm doing this austerity, keeping Krishna in center. But how do we differentiate whether we are actually doing it or not?
Yeah. I'll tell you my example of my Nirjal Ekadashi. Okay. Once I did full Nirjal. But after that, my wife told, "Abhi se nirjal mat karna, for heaven's sake." Because I was blasting everyone in the house on that day. And then I came in the morning, I saw cakes being served here. I said, "Gaya comes." Right? So, fasting, as long as we can do joyfully for the pleasure of the Lord, then it is good. But as long as that fasting gives us distaste for bhakti, then it is better to eat and do bhakti than to fast. Better to eat some gulab jamun and do few more rounds out of thanking the Lord with gratitude for gulab jamun than hating him for making us fast because he is appearing. Right? So that is the essence of what he is telling, na? Shrama evi kevalam na utpadiye yadi ratim. Rati means love towards the Lord. So anything, so that's why we all have to do bhakti to the extent that we are enjoying the process. If we try to do bhakti for showing one upmanship over others, or by comparing yourself, my peers are doing this, Prabhuji, please, I want to do it because my peers are doing it and therefore they are all being recognized in the congregation. If we do it for that purpose, then Krishna treats whatever we do like stool. It is nothing. It is not attracted by it, right? For example, let's say, I tell you, Mataji, we wanted to, do you have a friend here in this room? Yeah. I know her, let's say. She has come to my house and I have fed her nice prasadam. Then tomorrow I am, you know, inviting you also. Mataji, I want to invite you to my house for prasadam. I'll tell you, really I didn't want to invite you, but only because she is your friend I am inviting you. Will you come? She said, no, Prabhu, don't worry, no. Right? So therefore, this is not done out of any love or affection. It is just done because, you know, yeah, you are my friends. So just, you know, somebody has told we should do. So this is called as peers. Because I invited your peer, you know, I think I should invite you also. What kind of nonsense is that? She is not going to feel any happiness in that. So whatever we do it out of joy. Bhakti is a process 9.2 where Lord Krishna says it should be done susukham kartum aviyam. It should be done joyfully. Maja ana chahiye.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Are we okay? It's 9:10 now. Yeah, okay, we'll take one last.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the next class. So today you mentioned about the different type of sukrutis, and we also know the karma unmukhi sukruti. But he said doesn't beget, but many times when we engage people in the service, though they may not have penchant or they may not be in favor, but that service will purify them. So, is that also comes under
karma? No, that doesn't come under karma unmukhi sukruti. That comes under bhakti unmukhi sukruti. Because they are doing it for Krishna. They are doing it to please you. Because you are a devotee, because they accepted your word as a practicing devotee, you are part of the disciplic succession. They did it along with you. So, that doesn't count under karma unmukhi sukruti. Karma unmukhi sukruti comes when we are doing things, services under the three modes of material nature, driven by mode of goodness. For example, saying that, okay, I'm going to start a hospital, age old home or whatever. But that has got nothing to do with godliness. It may have to do with piety. It may have to do with morality. It may be done with a humanitarian cause, which are all glorious. But then Krishna is rewarding those people with heavenly planets. But then no entrance to spiritual kingdom because of that. Right? So that doesn't come out of that.
So sukriti part, sukriti means it should be connected to bhakti? Or
no, karma mukhi sukriti is there. There is no doubt about that. Karma mukhi is also called a sukriti because by karma mukhi sukriti, one can eventually come to bhakti, but automatically one will not come to bhakti. I'll give you an example of that. For example, a family is very pious. They are doing all kinds of yajna. For example, they are doing Navagraha Yajna, right? All the 9 planets, right? They have nothing to do with Krishna. They are doing it for Navagraha home. So that every Vastu, Shanti, everything they are doing. But what happens when they keep doing this, there is one prayer that comes towards the very end of everything. What is that verse? Kayena Vacha Manasa Indriyarva Buddhayatmanava Prakriti Svabhava Karomi Yatet Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samarpayami. So once they hear, twice they hear, third time they hear, fourth time, then they say, what is this? Narayana Yeti Samarpayami? That's how they will be directed towards Narayana. So the karmonmukhi activity in itself will not give them bhakti, but it will put them on a pedestal or a platform of mode of goodness. From there it's easy to accept what is beyond the three modes of material nature. That's how. So karmonmukhi sukriti is a necessary condition, but not a sufficient condition for entering spiritual world.
Okay, that's nice.
But it's a favorable wind. Yep.
Thank you. Nice.
Okay, we'll stop here. Any other questions we can do offline, but at least class officially is over. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Sukrutam Padakamalam Sri Guram Raghunathantam Vam Sadivam Shaktaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Sri Vishakhanikanishta Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaurabhakta Sri Krishna Chaitanya